force. It's calling to you.
Hello and welcome to episode 96 of Popcorn and Prosecco. I am Perry Nemiroff and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, we've got a pretty big episode this week. We are going full Star Wars on Popcorn.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars.
This entire episode will be dedicated to Star Wars The Force Awakens, with part of the review being spoiler-free, but it's still a review, which means you're still going to get plot points in our discussion, so if you'd rather not know any plot points of the new movie, you might want to come back after you've seen it, but then we are going to give a nice big spoiler alert before we discuss anything that would be considered a plot spoiler.
Yeah, anything beyond like the first act, we'll give you a heads up.
All right, so here is the IMDb synopsis of The Force Awakens. 3 decades after the defeat of the Galactic Empire, a new threat arises. The First Order attempts to rule the galaxy, and only a ragtag group of heroes can stop them, along with the help of the Resistance. So... I guess I will just start. I freaking loved this movie, and I'm so incredibly glad. I mean, I've heard so many people say this, so I feel stupid repeating it, but, like, it's not perfect. But it was kind of exactly what I wanted in another Star Wars movie. It just embodies everything that the original trilogy was, but opens the door to so many new things. It was basically the perfect balance to me between those two things, and it's... undoubtedly going to be in my top 10 of the year. I had so much fun watching it. I walked out really eager to go right back in and see it again. And I know when I do go see it again this week, there's going to be parts that... there's so many parts where I'm just going to be sitting there like, I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait to see that character. I mean, it's funny. It's exciting. It's moving. This, to me, is kind of like the complete package as far as blockbuster movies go.
I really liked it, too. So one of the things that I was impressed by was, I mean, it's rebooting a franchise that has been dormant for many years and, like, you know, went through a really rough patch in the middle, so I wasn't sure what to expect. And I have to give them all the credit in the world for, like, this is a really great reboot. Like, it's a... the thing I was worried about going in is, like, you know, everyone's excited to see Han and Leia and Luke, but, like, you know, who the fuck are these new people? We don't know. We don't know what their deal is. Like, we don't know if we like them or if we care about them. And I have to give them so much credit for doing such a great job of establishing, like, this new world and establishing these new characters and immediately making you care about the story again, but in a way that where it doesn't rely just on, oh, remember these old characters, we're going to trot them out because you like them. I mean, it is, like, very heavy on nostalgia, and there's a lot of things that they do in this movie that are clearly like, hey, guys, remember when you liked Star Wars when you were, like, 5 in the 80s? But there are also a lot of things that, you know, I feel like if you didn't know that much about Star Wars, like, if you're a kid now, this is the franchise that you'd be super excited about, and you would, like, grow up with these characters. And I walked out of the theater being so happy at the thought of, like, a whole new generation of kids being, like, so excited about characters like Rey and Finn.
What's funny to me is I did not grow up with Star Wars, which I know sounds weird, but there was definitely a period where you could get around just not seeing those movies, and I didn't. I didn't see them until the re-releases in the 90s. And so I liked them when I saw them, but I've never really connected to this huge, intense fandom. I was like, yeah, they were fun, but, like, I didn't have that nostalgia connection. And watching this movie has made me a Star Wars fan. Like, I spent this morning aggressively looking up action figures because I'm like, maybe I'll buy all... like, I can't stop. It's... and, like, I was online looking at, like, Angie has a Sith dress that now I'm super in envy of. And I was, like, I was fangirling out so hard after this. And I think that's part of why I think this is so incredible was
well, these I new told characters... you what I did right after the movie, right?
You bought
the BB-8. You know exactly what I was doing.
You bought
the BB-8. Spent her entire income on BB-8 toys. That's what
I mean,
did.
I really did spend, like, a solid hour Googling, like, BB-8 merchandise, BB-8 toys, BB-8
we'll
shirts.
We'll get into BB-8 in a second. But what I'm saying is that watching this... I enjoyed the nostalgia stuff, and I recently rewatched the trilogy with some friends, and, like, that actually,
including
the original trilogy, I didn't do the, whatever, I did, I watched it with Angie, and Angie Han is a hilarious person to watch Star Wars movies with, by the way, because she has a weird cross-section of knowing a lot about it from covering news stories, and then completely forgetting stuff because she hasn't watched them in years, so it was sort of like watching a movie with someone with amnesia. Amazing. It was so much fun. I started tweeting stuff and then I had to stop because I was just like, I was literally crying. I was laughing so hard. So anyway, but like that was fun and I enjoyed that. But when I watched the new Star Wars, I was surprised at how much the new characters just I was so into them. And like, there's a little bit of cheating in that I already like Oscar Isaac. So honestly, he can just do no wrong for me. But like John Boyega, like I liked Attack the Block okay, but I was not huge on that. So I didn't really know what to expect from him. And Daisy Ridley, who the fuck knows who she is, right? But she's great. And together, they're so much fun. Like the new cast members in this are so perfectly put into this world and they create such interesting new characters. And what I really liked is there's a genuine sense of fun in this. That, like, people behave like people. Like, you know, especially Finn, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but he has lines that, like, where he's flustered and where he's trying to figure stuff out. And I felt that that was very, you know, relatable and enjoyable. And I've seen the film twice now. I got to go to the press screening along with Perry and Angie. And then I went last night and I went to the Ziegfeld, which if any, it's a big, beautiful theater in New York where they seat 1,000 people. And it was incredible, like, to be a part of the audience when the beats hit the way they do and to hear people cheer and scream and like, you know, gasp. And I mean, like, it's a really kind of full-body theatrical experience because everybody is so aware of these characters and into it that, like, it feels like a celebration. It feels like coming home. It feels like everybody in that theater is there for a common purpose in a way that not a lot of movies, I think, get to have happen. This was really amazing.
It did feel like coming home in a way. Like, for some, like, a big part of what I loved about it is that sitting there, especially when the opening crawl came on, I was just, like, almost transported back to being, like, 5 years old and sitting on the couch with my dad and watching our VHS box set. Like, I just got those same feelings. But I like what you kind of just brought up, because one of my favorite parts about this movie is how most of the heroes have very human flaws to them. And it's not just like, oh, haha, so-and-so is susceptible to the dark side. No, like,
yeah.
They have very real insecurities that you can connect to and be a part of and get a good laugh out of. So that's part of the reason why I think Rey and Finn stood out to me so, so much.
It's something that I think a lot of blockbusters, Star Wars or otherwise, don't do that well, where they just assume, like, if they have a lot of action and characters that are good at, like, wielding swords and guns, then, like, they're automatically interesting. But this one knows, like, you know, like, yeah, you watch a movie for the spectacle, but what really draws you in is when the characters are people that you like and that you care about, and that means that they have to have personalities, they have to, like, have souls that you can really connect to. You can't just have
and
them
boy,
only
boy, do these characters have personalities.
Sorry?
They really have personalities in this. They are just such distinct characters. And, like, to the point where I feel like nobody but John Boyega and Daisy Ridley could have played them this way, you know?
Completely.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, like, you start off the movie with Poe Dameron. And again, this is not a spoiler. And he only has a couple of lines and stuff. But, like, immediately I liked him because, like, Oscar Isaac has star power. And this is funny. When I left the theater last night, I came out and there was, like, a group of teenage girls. And one of them said to the other one, Poe is fucking hot. And I was like, yes. Also that. I said on Twitter, and I stand by this, I think that Star Wars The Force Awakens is going to be for this generation of girls what Jurassic Park was for my generation, where all of a sudden, like, you have a sexual awakening, you're like, hello, what? And my husband laughed at me, and then he saw the movie, and he was like, all right, maybe. But yeah, because there's John Boyega, who's super smoking. There's, like I said, Oscar Isaac, killing it. And Adam Driver, Joanna Robinson from Vanity Fair, pointed out that it's like a goth prince in this. He's like all attitude and mood is Kylo Ren. And yeah, it works. It's you know, and for the boys, you've got Rey, who is super cool and beautiful.
All right, well, now that we've given our first impressions, do you guys want to move into some plot discussion?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't want to get too much into, like, heavy, deep third act spoilers, but, you know, let's talk a little bit more about what the plot of the movie actually is, right?
Yeah.
So as is revealed in the opening crawl, Luke Skywalker has gone missing. So if you're one of those people that's been like, why isn't Luke Skywalker in all the marketing? It's because it's part of, like, the people in the movie are wondering the same thing. They're like, where the fuck is Luke Skywalker? So they're going after him, but, you know, really that's just, like, the start of, like, a long adventure that sends people from one planet to another. I don't know. I honestly am not going to be able to recap all of it, but you can
kind
of
just... need to.
Yeah, you don't need to know the finer details. Or if you do, then you should probably listen to a different review where they go into that kind of stuff more. But basically, John Boyega is a stormtrooper who has decided to break free of the stormtrooper life. And one thing I liked about it is it's not necessarily that he's like, I'm going to be a hero. I'm a good guy. The light side is calling me. Like, it's because he has, like, a lot of misgivings about the life that he's been born into and raised in. And that felt, like, so much more relatable than just, like, well, the prophecy says there must be a, you know, like, the stuff that I think trips up a lot of sci-fi and fantasy where they don't actually give the characters any room. It's all just destiny and prophecy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rey's just like a scavenger, like just like a nobody living on this planet called Jakku. And then they cross paths, I guess. Oh, God, I'm gonna screw this up. How
it's fine. So here's the thing. I want to get into John Boyega for a second. What I thought was interesting is that watching the original trilogy, Angie got super into the Star Troopers, Stormtroopers, and every time one of them showed up and something horrible happened, she would give us a backstory she had just invented about why we should all feel bad about it. So
I was so happy that one of the leads is a Stormtrooper. I was like, I knew it.
I literally said to my husband, it's like someone had sat in on us watching that and was like, I'm going to make a movie for these two idiots. Like, so the movie's like, because you see John Boyega come out and he sees what's going on. And even though you don't see his face yet, like, you know, if you've been paying attention to the trailers, you know it's John Boyega. And another Stormtrooper dies in his arms and smears blood across his face. And it's such a sad moment that I was actually really surprised that for once in all of the movies I've watched with Stormtroopers, I felt like I understood the emotions of the troopers on a real level. And that was really incredible. And then, like, it continues where he doesn't take his mask off for until, like, maybe 10 minutes into the movie. And up until then, I still got where he was going and how he was feeling. But then when he takes his mask off, it's a huge relief because he's such a good comedic performer. And he has a bunch of wonderful, funny beats where it's just him trying to figure stuff out. And, yeah, he's not necessarily noble. He's actually kind of a liar and a little bit of a scoundrel. And he doesn't want to kill for the Empire, but he also just wants to get the fuck out of Dodge. He doesn't want to stop them. He just wants to leave. And I really liked it. So in that respect, people are calling him the Han Solo in that because I get it. Like, he's kind of doing his own thing and whatever. But it's not a very good comparison because both attitude-wise and motivation-wise, they're very different. And that's actually part of why I really liked Finn, was because Finn is not a character I've seen in this world specifically before. No, I don't read all the expanded stuff, so maybe there's something like that. But we're talking about the original six movies. He seemed really unique and fun for me. And, like, there's a really good line between him and Poe where he says to Poe, like, I'm going to break you out of here. And he's like, why? And he goes, because it's the right thing to do. And he goes, because you need a pilot. He's like, I need a pilot. And, like, I love that it was, like, in that moment, I feel like you have a good sense of who they are as characters and what this journey is. And I was just really impressed.
He's very genuinely scared. Like, the fact that he's scared kind of drives his whole arc throughout the movie. And yeah, it's, like, rooted in every single decision he makes.
And it made the stakes feel high. Because, like you know, Angie pointed out, if a character comes into a thing and they're like, it's my destiny to do this, da-da-da-da-da, and they're never scared, I don't feel like we get pulled into the emotion the same way. But to watch Finn be scared and to kind of still succeed or still try to be a part of the resistance or still whatever, like, that was very satisfying and engaging.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And also, one thing about Boyega that I found pretty incredible is I am a huge Attack the Block fan. I mean, I have watched that movie dozens and dozens of times. And if you watch his performance in that movie and then his performance in this movie, that kid has so much freaking range. I can't believe it. They're essentially two completely different characters. And, like big props to him for being able to handle so much comedy in The Force Awakens, because, I mean, I imagine he must have been terrified when he read the script and he realized how many one-liners were going to fall on his shoulders, because, you know, when you do a one-liner on set, it might...
No less.
I know, like, it might be funny in your head, but, like, God forbid something like that doesn't come together in an edit, and you're on screen in the Star Wars movie, and the audience is not laughing at your shit, you are, like, ruined for life, but no.
You're Hayden Christensen.
I mean,
good luck.
Well, aww. Really, but if you watch this movie,
Angie,
I mean,
still
and
feels
you
bad
mark
for Hayden
down,
Christensen.
Oh, I don't feel bad for him. If you mark down the one-liners in this movie, I mean, I guarantee you, like, 75% of them are his.
The best laughs in this definitely went to Finn. He's and it's and what I like is he's not exactly
and
a comic character.
And
BB-8 has one joke that it was like one of those situations where I started laughing at the joke but then couldn't stop laughing, so I was laughing like two scenes later.
Well, I actually really like BB-8 and like, which surprised me just because I find C-3PO insufferable. Like, when he showed up in this, I was like, ugh. And, like, you know, R2, I'm like, whatever, he's cute, I get it, but I'm not, like, super into it. But BB-8, like, again, like the Stormtroopers, I was impressed by how much emotion I feel like they got out of a ball droid. But like,
well, BB-8's design already puts him like a major step beyond R2-D2, for instance, because there's just so much you could do with R2-D2 based on the way he looks. But BB-8 was able to roll around. He can keep up with the other characters. And that was another thing that made BB-8 a standout, is he's not just some like cute droid that follows them around and can like hide secret messages or whatever, like R2 in the first movies, but he's very capable. Like, it feels like BB-8 is essential to completing the mission. Without him, like, their team would not be as strong.
Yeah, it's not like when R2 falls over in the original trilogy and you're like, how do you even do that? This is the worst designed robot in the goddamn world.
All right, do we want to switch now into full-blown spoilers?
Let's do it. Let's do spoilers.
I think it's about... All right, so this is your last warning. We are going to go spoiler-heavy with Star Wars The Force Awakens right now. If you do not want to hear about these spoilers, shut it off. Go away. Go watch
come
the movie.
Come back later.
Come back. You know. So, spoiler alert. Here we go. Who wants to start?
So, Ren... Kylo Ren, who, like, immediately they start, like, alluding, like, maybe this is personal for you, blah, 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 blah. And then, of course, he's Han and Leia's kid, which was very exciting and interesting and fun.
It is, but I will say that I think that that is one aspect of the story that they could have given a little bit more time and consideration to. Basically, I mean, I get why there's so much fucking going on in this movie, is because it has to, like, relaunch this entire universe of stories. And I get that, but a lot of times I do think that as much as I like the movie, it felt overstuffed. Like, a few things felt like they kind of got shafted. And the, you know, Han, Leia, Ben / Kylo Ren thing was one of them. Like, it's like a crazy story that seems like it should be like a trilogy on its own. And I mean, it kind of was. It was called like the prequel trilogy. But like, it felt weird to me that it's something that you don't even realize what's happening until halfway through the movie. And then it's just over like that. And I was like, well, okay. Yeah.
I get that. I feel like Adam Driver's performance made it okay and work well enough.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. However, you could also look at it like there were so many things in The Force Awakens that kind of opened the door to big possibilities for future installments. I'm almost kind of glad that this movie wasn't like idea and like all the information, you know?
No,
like,
I thought they were going to continue to unravel that plot.
The same thing about the stormtrooper idea, is that, you know, we know what was going through Finn's mind to a degree, but like, God, that to me is like a movie in and of itself. And like, what if down the line, like more stormtroopers became aware, and that's, I don't know, there's just so much interesting stuff in there. Like, I want to know now how a kid winds up becoming a stormtrooper, what that training process is like, what their first experience when battle is like beyond Finn. I mean, there's just so much rich detail in there that was untapped in this.
I get that, but I mean, it's one thing to like not delve into the stormtroopers thing. Like, you know, that's just like another corner of the universe. But like the Han and Leia thing just seemed like it didn't get enough weight for how fucking significant it is. Not just for these two characters that we've known forever.
But for the galaxy.
Not just for like a character that's like one of our new leads in this new, you know, rebooted version of the franchise. But like also to the entire fucking galaxy. And it's one of the things that I do find a little bit frustrating about this movie in general, and I guess now Star Wars, or this movie in particular, and I guess also Star Wars in general, is that like it's like, yeah, okay, I understand that it's set up for a future movie. I assume it's set up for a future movie, but it doesn't make it work any better in this movie necessarily.
No, you're right.
And it makes it hard to review this movie as a movie because it's not a movie anymore. It's like reviewing a puzzle piece in like, you know, a larger puzzle.
Oh, but
that's
I think
true.
It hit, I mean, like, the perfect balance between doing that and setting up future installments, but also being its own story in and of itself.
I wouldn't
itself.
Say
I
perfect
it kind of,
I'd say pretty good balance.
Oh, I thought I got just enough of, like, both sides of that.
Well, this is also, we're in a new world of movie making where, you know, we're talking about cinematic universes that also encompass comics and television shows and whatever. So, like, this is becoming more and more the norm. And I didn't necessarily have a problem with that. But, yeah, it's funny to me because the one scene that just really felt clunky and didn't work for me, and I know we're going to, yeah, I know, is when Han and Leia are talking about their son. It feels like they shot those on separate sound stages or something. Like, I don't know, the dialogue, the whole thing just feels so off kilter compared to everything else. Like, all of a sudden, the lines do feel like they're written by George Lucas again, where he's like, well, he left, and then you left. And
so
I was like, no one's been
I
talking
also
in this
think
weird...
It might have been a little bit of a performance issue, too. I mean...
Carrie Fisher is
not
that good in this, you guys.
No, she's not very good in this. And
like every line reading
seems a little
sarcastic.
There were moments where Harrison Ford looked a little tired to me. Like, Like, when he was saying something that he didn't really believe it, you know?
Yeah. I bought his performance, but Carrie Fisher, and I think part of this is because we know what she's like off-screen, where she's a very, like, sarcastic, sardonic
lady. She has zero fucks to give.
She's fantastic, in general. But it seems that when she's trying to put in a really earnest performance as a princess slash general, I'm just kind of like, I found myself kind of waiting for the punchline and then being like,
that might be it.
Okay, there's no punchline.
It might be like the Jamie Dornan thing, where we know how much he wasn't into it, that then watching the movie, it, like, infects it. That might be it.
Well, I'm pretty sure one of my biggest takeaways from The Force Awakens is now that I'm aware of how she behaves, and I will tell you, last night I spent quite a long time Googling her interviews and just watching all the crazy shit. Oh my God.
Incredible.
Did you see the one with her, Oscar Isaac, and her daughter at the premiere?
If I missed
you have
that
not
one.
Seen that, it's on StarWars.com, and it's I'll pretty freaking out. Funny. The only big thing that I, like, immediately when I walked out of the movie that I was like, you know, I don't really like that part, is Snoke.
Snoke is awful. He feels like he's a holdover from the prequels. Like, he's, like, CG.
People are calling him, like Gollum and Voldemort 2.0. Yeah, he's not good.
And with him and both.
Wait. Let me just clarify. Is he, like, an entirely CG? That was a projection, though.
It's a hologram, so we don't know whether he's actually giant. I don't think he is.
Well, that but was like, the first thing never that seen threw the real me him. Off. That, I mean, I imagine that was supposed to it's be like, a reveal, but that put a bad taste in my mouth the second I saw him, is that the first image you see of him is a hologram, but they don't reveal that it's a hologram, so I'm like, oh, that's a shitty design, and well, you know, later when they clarify that, it's not like it made it any better.
We need to wrap soon, so I want to loop back around to Rey real quick, because we haven't discussed the big Rey reveal, which is that she is probably a Skywalker, and there's debate about what. But what I just want to talk about Rey specifically now that we're into the spoiler section. I was really impressed because I feel like the trailer is set up to make you think that John Boyega is going to be the new, like, lead in these movies. And no, man, it is Rey, and she is cool as fuck. She is an engineer. She's smart and capable and doesn't need anybody to, like, help her out. Like, she's very self-sufficient, almost to a point where it feels like it's cheating a little. But then it's like, you could possibly argue it's like an Avatar or a Harry Potter thing where, like, her destiny is to be more powerful than anyone. But, like, there is nothing in this movie more exciting to me than when her and Kylo face off. And it was because I was invested in both characters, and that fight scene is amazingly choreographed and the lights are beautiful and, like, everything feels so important in that moment that I was just like, this is why people come to these movies and lose their goddamn minds.
She is one of those kinds of people, though, that I think could just be on screen and be doing nothing and have no dialogue. And there's just something immediately captivating about her. I mean, within seconds of seeing her on screen, I'm like, you know, I like you. Like, I want to see more of you.
Yeah,
so I'm glad that she's going to be the one hopefully leading us through the next three episodes.
And, like, they don't make her sexy. They don't make her particularly funny. Like, they don't try to pigeonhole her with, like, an adjective specifically, you know? They really allow her to develop and be an interesting character, which you normally don't see with female heroines. Like, we're seeing a lot more of it now, but a lot of times it's like, oh, like, you know, think fucking Lara Croft or something, where it's like, they don't have, or even poor Leia in the stupid slave outfit. There's a lot of need to be like, yeah, look, she's super strong and also sexy, and, like, they don't need to do that in this movie. Like, instead, she's very capable. It's not that she's physically strong. It's that she's very capable and thoughtful and intelligent and compassionate. And all of this makes for a character that you give tons of... I cared about Rey so much that, like, both times I walked out just feeling elated. And, like, that's very exciting. I think this is probably one of the best cinematic experiences I've had in, like, a decade. I had such a good time.
I'm with you on that. We should probably wrap soon because we have gone Star Wars crazy. Do either of you have any final words? Not all at once.
Can I go first?
Okay. go ahead.
Okay. I like this movie so much that it actually made me less excited for the next one, because the next one is Rogue One. It's a fucking spinoff set, like, in, like, earlier times. I'm like, I don't care. Go back to episode 8. I want to see what happens to Finn and Rey.
That's a good argument. I'm really thrilled with this one. I thought it was so much fun to watch. And yes, there are plot holes in this movie, and the second act is wonky. That's kind of just true of Star Wars in general, that they usually have an act where you're like, wait, what are we doing? But, like, I think that J.J. Abrams did a really great job of taking into consideration what fans today wanted. And the film has a beautiful sense of representation where it feels like a movie made for everybody in the best way possible, as opposed to being like, let's speak to the lowest common denominator. It speaks to the desire in all of us to want to be a hero. And I think that that's what makes this movie so successful and so spirited and so much fucking fun.
Yeah, I'm with you on all that, but I had the opposite problem of Angie. After walking out of this, we were ranking our most anticipated of 2016, and Rogue One was on my list, but it shot up to number one. All I want is to be in this world with these characters, or at least these types of characters. I loved it. I mean, I never really stopped being a Star Wars fan, but it kind of rekindled my love for the franchise and the world in a way that I haven't felt in a very, very long time. I mean, I know I keep obsessing over BB-8, and he's only a small part of this movie, but as someone who was very into the character from the very first reveal, to see a character like that, like, done so freaking, like, exceeding my expectations to such an extent, I don't know, like, just, like, thank you, J.J. Abrams, for letting us, like, have this and end our year like this.
Let's close out with our favorite thing. Clearly, Perry's was BB-8. What was your favorite thing about this movie, Angie?
Finn. I love him. I just, he wants friends so badly, and I want to be his friend also. Like, it's just a running theme that he has, like, no friends, and, like, he just latches on to, like, everyone he sees, and I was like, I want to be your friend.
The hand-holding scene was one of my favorites.
I actually heard people talking about that when we were walking out, too. People really loved Finn. I gotta say, man, Rey just blew me away, and my favorite part is when she gets the lightsaber, that, like, in that climactic moment, even though I knew it was coming this time and you anticipated a little bit the first time I watched it, like, I'm really excited that little girls today get to grow up with a Rey. That's rad as hell. And, like, Leia was cool, guys. She was cool. But, like, she wasn't marketed to females in a way that allowed us to really embrace her. And I think that Rey, like, they get it. They understand. And Rey is just so much fun. I can't wait to see more of her.
All right, so that is a wrap on episode 96 of Popcorn Prosecco, our Star Wars The Force Awakens episode. You guys know the drill. Go to iTunes where you can subscribe, and it would be great if you could rate and comment over there as well. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter at popcornprosecco, and please like us on Facebook as well. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Christy, you want to go first?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko, KristyPuchko. And I write all over the internet, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com, which right now I have, it's called All Things Star Wars, and it's everything I've written so far about Star Wars. There'll probably be more stuff next week, so you can get reviews, and I reviewed Star Wars ice cream and all kinds of weird stuff, so go check that out.
Angie?
Yeah, Star Wars ice cream I gave you, so you're welcome, universe.
I didn't want to make my plug any longer, but yes, Angie bought me Star Wars ice cream. It was delicious and very thoughtful.
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and you can find my writing at slashfilm.com.
And you can catch my writing on collider.com, and my Twitter handle is pnemeroff. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
It's Star Wars, those near and far wars. Please don't let Star Wars come to an end. Ha ha ha.